this feast now comes at the day after the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. It's a mystery of love. Mary's sorrows are because of her union in love with Jesus, as are the sorrows of all the saints. Our sorrows can only enter into this if we love. It's not just, you know, well, that was really tough, Mary. I'm glad you got through it. Because she's a model disciple. And that's why the prayer rather strikingly says, you see, may your church be united with Christ in his suffering and death, not only sacramentally here at the Eucharist, but in the fullness and completion of the Eucharist, which is in our own dying and rising. It can be small things, but it can be big things too. And as the world is going, it's likely to be big things. And so we have this text to meditate on today. We also have, I think it's in the Magnificat too, isn't it? The Stabat Mater?
Yes.
It's quite long, and so I'm not going to read it out. But you know, maybe I will. When I was a little fella, I memorized that whole thing. The first text from Hebrews is talking about our Lord's crisis in the garden. When he was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. How was he heard? He was saved not from dying, but from death. Besides that, the him in that text, that's his whole body. We've all been saved, not from dying, but from death. We're not going to stay dead. We're going to be with God, body and soul, forever, because he submitted to the Father's will, and his suffering began in the garden. The next line is remarkable. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. He learned obedience. The learning there, in Greek, the word to learn is mathin. We get mathematics and things like that from it. Huh? And the word for suffer is pathin. We get pathos and things like that from it. So the Greeks always do this, you see. There is no mathin without pathin. There's no real learning without enduring, without experiencing, because pathin can mean also to experience. You see, so this principle is applied to Jesus here. See, he learned, you see, from mathin. He learned obedience from what he suffered, pathin. So he knows in his flesh what it means to obey, because he suffered through it. Now, Mary was there with him. You know, as I was praying about this, it was so clear, really, that it's impossible to enter in to this suffering of Jesus and Mary without love. If we love them, we will experience and enter into that suffering. If we don't, it's just another feast day. And it's a great challenge. I think we should pray today to try to understand this. Because you see, what Our Lady is suffering here, you know, are the birth pangs of the Messiah. It's impossible, I guess, to grasp the union between the two and her sharing his sufferings. His sufferings are infinitely sufficient to atone for sin. And yet, she's a part of that. And that she becomes our mother. That is a source of life for us. But we have to pray to get it. It doesn't come easily, you know, to the words do, you see. And so there is Jesus on the cross. Huh? And he says, this is revelation. Whatever in John you have, see, say, you have revelation. He saw his mother and said, you see, revelation, woman, behold your son. At this moment, you see, she's suffering what's called the birth pangs of the Messiah. She's giving birth in her own way, in union with Christ, whose sufferings are all supreme, to the reality of the church. Behold your son. That's the church. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. She's a source of life for you. Now, it's very delicate. There can be a good deal of sort of sentiment, which won't help much. But on the other hand, with no sense, that doesn't help much either. In other words, to enter into this, we have to pray for love. You see, and from that hour, our text says, into his home. It's a possible, no, I'm afraid it's not a possible translation, I'm sorry. Father de la Poterie, many years ago, a friend, went through, you can do it nowadays. See, you can, we have all Greek literature on a CD or two CDs. And so, all you have to do is type up, Eisteidia, unto his own, literally. And see how it's used. It's never used to take to one's home. He's receiving Mary as part of those things that are proper to him as a believer. See, it's not optional. You see, behold your mother, and he received her and all that belongs to him. Now, did you just read about this? I heard you quoting St. Ambrose. Ambrose is one who saw this and says, you see, it means he took her into his own, to what belongs to him as a disciple, to receive the maternal influence. Well, mothers give life, so it isn't just affection or sentiment. It's divine life, mediated. Now, mediation, it's unfortunate that we have imaginations. It's not always unfortunate, but sometimes. A mediator stands between us and what's mediated, so we think. Huh? So here's Jesus, here's Mary, here's us. Everything has to go through Mary to get to us. No. I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. Christ in Mary is mediating. Is that okay? See what I'm saying? It's Jesus Christ in Mary who is mediating with her. That's going to be one of the key understandings. And the Lord showed me that several years ago in declaring the text, the doctrine of Our Lady, Mediatrix of Graces. not middleman of grace is, huh? But mediatrix. She's the Lord Christ is through her love. See, Christ lives in her as he lives in us. And so, all I can say is this. Here's these texts, and they're quite quite beautiful. But you've got to pray, and you've got to be able to have sympathy. Sim, and you have the same root with path again. Huh? You've got to suffer with. You've got to be in there to understand this rhythm and the incredible love and compassion. We got to pray for it. There's no other way to understand this. And if we understand it, something happens to our own heart. And we have sympathy, huh? We suffer with. And that means that whatever ministry, mediation, whatever the other words are we use for this, will have fruit, because it will be with co-suffering. And that's why the church, you know, the church grows in insight as the centuries go by. So at a certain point, they just said, let's put this, we're the exaltation of the cross is celebrating the day that Queen Helena found a fragment of the cross at the bottom of a well, a pit, over what is now the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And that's nifty. But it's become the feast in which we see the power and the beauty of selfless love on the part of the Lord himself, who learned obedience through the things that he suffered. What humility. He's God. And then, as time went on, to put this feast right next to it, because she is co-redemptrix. Doesn't mean that Jesus, you know, shared half of his divine glory or efficacy with her. It means, as the text said that we are, didn't we read that verse today? No. It's there, we don't have even an option, do we? It is now my, yes we do. It is now my joy. I rejoice in my sufferings for you. Paul, you see, in his own way, he's sharing the mystery of Mary, right? As he says in Galatians, I am in birth pangs again until Christ be formed in you. That's part of the apostolic vocation.